Amen. Bless you guys. Welcome to Sinai this morning. And we're on the second week of our sermon series called Masquerade. And for those of you that were with us last week, Pastor Brando gave an intriguing a different word with regards to us wearing a mask. And whilst most of us don't really wear real masks, but we do wear masks every day. We wear masks all the time. And I just pray when you leave this morning that the Holy Spirit does something in you and in me that is a little bit different. Now, obviously, I didn't know who was going to come to this morning service. So after the service, if you said this pastor was throwing stones, I didn't know you were here. So you came and then you may have taken some stones, but it's up to you and the Holy Spirit. Another thing is, if you left this sermon series, whole sermon series, and you said, I just wish my husband was here to hear what the pastor had to say. This word was so for him, or this word was so for her, then you misinterpreted this whole sermon series. Masquerade is for you and for me. Masquerade is not for somebody else. And I know most of the time when somebody gives forth a word, when I receive a word myself, I think about somebody else. I want to be very honest with you. So if a pastor is giving a sermon about lies, we think about all the liars that we may know. If he speaks about gossiping, we think about all the gossipers we know. But the masquerades in our lives is for us. Don't think about anybody else except for your own mask. Amen? I love this Batman trilogy. It's called Dark Knight. I don't know who watched it, but it's for me, it's like one of the best movies out there. I absolutely love it. It's a trilogy. It's a three-part series. And they have some of my favorite characters is Joker. And he has a mask. He has a mask and he's a conflicting character. But Joker actually shows everybody what he is. And he doesn't really hide who he is. He's a bad guy. Amen? And then you get another conflicting character. His name is Two-Face. So Two-Face is a character where he has two faces. He has a good-looking or good side, and then he has a terrible-looking, and he has a bad side. And he wears a mask, but at least he's true to himself. He's Two-Face. So you don't really know what you're going to get from Two-Face. And then you get Batman, my favorite character. He's supposed to be the superhero of the movie, but if you really, really watch the trilogy properly, he's actually the person who has a mask for a reason. Because he actually doesn't know who he is. He doesn't know whether he wants to be the superhero or he actually wants somebody else to do the work for him. So I don't know what type of mask you're using this morning. Whether you're using the Batman mask, or you pretend to be a superhero, but actually you're not qualified to be the superhero. Or you really are the Joker and you say, what I am is what I am, you take me for what I am. Or maybe you're Two-Face, or you don't really know where you stand with regards to yourself. Now, as I said, throughout the sermon series, you're going to be picturing other people. But today we're going to speak about self-deception. So say self. This series is about me. It's self-deception. And when I was going through this and I was spending some time, I looked at all the areas in my personal life where I wear a lot of masks. And masks are a brilliant thing to have because you don't have to be who you are. You actually can be out of character. And one of the best places to wear a mask is in the church. Amazingly. So we can come and fellowship with one another, and we have expectations about who we're supposed to be as believers in Christ. And one of the biggest mask people out there are the people that are bringing you the word. Because pastors have to stand in front of you with the pretense, most of the time, that everything is going well. Because if it's not going well for us, how can we give you anything to eat if we don't have anything to eat in our homes? Amen? Our homes must be doing well. Our marriages must be perfect Because how can we be standing here giving you something to eat when our marriages are not perfect? So the church in and of itself has a character of a whole lot of mass. And the reason why it has mass is because the preachers themselves have to come here sometime and pretend. That is why this sermon series is difficult, because it's about introspection. Who we really are is who we really ought to be. And there's a very, very big difference. So I'm standing here today giving you a word that the Holy Spirit wants me to give you. But in no way am I standing here today with a mask that I have it all together, because I simply don't. So I can't give you a word from a position of strength when I myself need to introspect my own life. So I cannot give you this word without saying, listen, what mask am I wearing before I look at what mask you wearing? So say stethoscopes, say stethoscope. So most of you know what a stethoscope is. It's the doctors wear the stethoscope. And sometimes the doctor's assistants wear the stethoscope because they want to make you think that they're a doctor. Or the nurse wears the stethoscope because once you see a stethoscope, you say, there's a doctor coming. So the doctor wears a stethoscope. It's for examining other people. It's for checking somebody else. Today, we're not going to wear stethoscopes. We're going to use mirrors. Say mirrors. Mirrors. So I know most of you think that you don't have mirrors, so we're going to quickly do this. We're going to take our cell phones out. In our church, we like cell phones. Don't worry, you can take it out. I know most of you got your cell phones. You can take it out. Take it out. I know you guys said, take it out. Take it out. Don't worry. So we're going to go to, let me see this. Selfie mode. So I'll just get my selfie mode there. Guys, you don't carry your cell phone to church. You know, Pastor, when we did this word, how dare you bring your cell phone to the house of the Lord? This sermon series was done in 2015. And I thank you guys for listening to this wonderful message given by Pastor Duran. It says, how dare you use. So in any case, I'll take out my, I'm the only guy that got my cell phone here. So you got your cell phone. So I'm going to go into selfie mode. Okay, so we're going to go quickly, especially you girls and guys. We're going to go. Okay. So we're going to view this before and after church, right? So it's our mirror. Our mirror. Amen. I don't know why this thing is not changing, but we'll give it a shot. Maybe Pastor Brando can help me there from the back. Good stuff. Thank you. Listen to this tongue twister, right? Those who don't know, they don't know. Those who don't know, they don't know. And I'm speaking to you and me this morning. We don't know who we are because we don't know who we are, because we're waiting for somebody else to tell us who we are. Maybe. Or I don't know because I don't know because I don't know that I don't know. I don't know because maybe when I come to church, I receive the message for someone else. Maybe. Or maybe I don't know who I am because we don't allow ourselves to be put in a position where somebody else can tell us who we really are. Amen? Or maybe we don't know who we are because it's better for us not to know who we really are. Because if we don't know who we really are, we don't have to address the things that we don't want. And that's what self-deception is all about. I love this parable. It's one of my favorite parables. We're going to go through it in a little bit. We're going to stagger it a bit. There's a lady who, well, Jesus met at a well. She was known as a Samaritan woman. And she was drawing water during the day, in the noontime. She was alone. And when she goes to draw water, she meets Jesus for the first time. She doesn't know who Jesus is. And Jesus tells her, she knows that he's a Jew, but she doesn't know who he is. So Jesus tells her, please give me some water to drink. And she straight away recognizes that he's a Jew, and he says, she tells him, why are you speaking to me? Jews don't speak to Samaritans. So Jesus goes and integrates into her life, and he basically says, listen, I'm thirsty, but I'm actually the one that is not thirsty. You the one that is thirsty. And she begins to say, what's this guy talking about? How can I be the one thirsty? I'm drawing out the water. And they begin to speak, and he begins to show this lady who she really is. And he tells her, if I give you water to drink, you will never thirst again. And she doesn't know what he's really talking about, but she begins to understand that, listen, this guy is not really somebody who's sitting by the well. This guy must be somebody important. Then she tells him, I want to drink this water. Give me a taste of this water that I don't have to come back to this well. Now, a little bit of a background on this person. This woman was a prostitute. The reason why she came during the day to draw water is because normally the women don't come during the day because it's hot. They come early in the morning. They come in the morning because it's cool and they don't have to carry the water back home. She comes alone during the hot of the day because she does not want people to know who she is. She wants to be alone. She doesn't want people to recognize that she actually doesn't have one husband. She has five husbands and her home is not in order. She goes to a place where she's supposed to be alone and she meets somebody who she never thought that she will meet. And then Jesus goes and prods her and he says, listen, I know who you really are. You actually don't have one husband, you have five husbands. And the person that you are with at the moment is not even your husband. And suddenly the light comes on in her spirit. When God reveals to you who you are, everything will change. But he's going to tell you the truth. If you want to look in the mirror every morning, and if you want to know who you really are, you have to allow the Holy Spirit to tell you who you really are. So we're going to look at two truths. Let's go through the sermon outline. In the front, it says it this way. The longer we view our lives through a distorted lens, the more likely we are to believe in a distorted truth. Don't believe yourself. Don't believe your own mind. Don't believe your own thoughts. Don't look at yourself and make a decision about who you are based only on yourself. It's a recipe for disaster. I love the scripture. For in his own eyes, he flatters himself. Too much to detect or hate is sin. For in his own eyes, he flatters himself. Too much to detect or hate is sin. We cannot properly diagnose ourselves. If your body needs help, you have to go to a doctor to get a proper diagnosis. You can say, I have a headache, and all I'll ever take is Panados. And then you get a migraine, you'll say, all I'll ever take is Mibulin. And suddenly you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, hey, you actually have a tumor. Can you still take Mibulin? It's impossible. When you get diagnosed by the correct person, you'll be able to treat the symptom correctly. Likewise, in your spirit man, you could not diagnose yourself all the time. And because you always flatter yourself. You'll always take yourself and you say, I am the pastor of the church. And whatever I do is right. Surely my home is perfect. But I am doing something better because I don't shout at my wife. Look at my neighbor. See how rowdy they are. Amen? I must be doing something right. I don't do this too much. I know somebody else who does it much more than me. For they are worse a sinner than I am. I come to church every week, except when I'm on holiday. And even when I'm on holiday, I still go to church. I am better than all of those other people. Amen? If you self-diagnose your spiritual life, you will only but flatter yourself. Because the sins you want is the sins you keep. Yeah. The words of his mouth are wicked and deceitful. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. You came here this morning because you knew that you wear a mask. You came here this morning, you knew what the sermon series was. You allowed yourself to be inspected by the Holy Spirit. You're going to allow yourself to be searched by the Holy Spirit. And He's going to pull out things that He doesn't want. And He's going to put in things that He wants in your life. Number two. Often the more convinced you are you're right, the more likely you are that you're wrong. Often the more convinced you are you're right, the more likely you are wrong. You are not the master of everything. Amen? You are not the professional and the know-it-all in every aspect, in all things. You are not all-knowing in every area of your life. Phew. Maybe it's the first time that I heard that and that you heard that. You do not run your family perfectly. You do not have the perfect iron on your pants. Not everything you do is crisp and clean. Because you and I are not perfect. Yeah. Often the more you're convinced you're right, the more likely you are that you're wrong. When NASA started building rockets in the 1940s, they thought they had it all figured out. And they were a few years away of launching the first rocket out of space. They wanted to go out of space first. And in the 1950s, they were a few days away. And then they were a few weeks away. In the 1960s, they were a few hours away. And suddenly the Russians launched the first rocket into space. It's called the Sputnik. And they had a wake-up call. And they said, listen, we thought we are about 10 years ahead of everybody. And suddenly, our enemy beat us to the punch. Even if you think you're the best, and if you have all the resources, sometime you're going to get caught off guard. Because when you think you're right, you're wrong. Amen? And we're going to go through various aspects. And Peter replied, he's telling Jesus this, even if all fall away on account of you, I will never. I tell you the truth. This is Peter speaking again. This very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. I believe that Peter, with his whole heart, and with his whole mind, and with his whole soul, didn't want to do what he did to Jesus. I believe that he didn't want to deny Jesus 3 times. I believe that he really, really wanted to die with the Lord if he could. But when the rubber meets the road, you make a decision that you sometimes thought you never would. And only the Holy Spirit can tell you who you really are. Your intentions may be great. Your purpose may be virtuous. But it does not mean that you're always right. Because most likely you are wrong. Now, why am I telling you this morning? Because I'm setting you up for something that the Lord wants to do. If you don't realize that you're not always right, you won't allow the Lord to work with you. Amen? There are 3 steps to live in truth. Number one, say, ask God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me to everlasting, to the way of everlasting. Say, search me, O God. I'm yet to go to a doctor for an examination. And he stands in front of me and he says, you're not looking well. I think you got the flu. Sit down. Take antibiotics for 7 days. You want some flu tablets? Yes, doc. you'll be okay in a few days. Okay, see you, bye. Has any of you went to the doctor? And if that doctor has done that, you don't go back. Even if there's nothing wrong with you and you went for the Monday sick note. I know the Monday sick note. I went for the Monday sick note. I know all of you all went for my. So there's nothing wrong with you. You just don't want to go to work. If you get Monday and Tuesday off, it'll be all right. So you go on a Monday and you say, doctor, whole night I stayed my stomach. I was only with my stomach because stomach is painy. You can't really check your stomach. Your head is painy. It's not going to go and open your head. So you know you're kind of safe, right? And the way I was coughing, I think I ate the chicken, but we had a braai on Saturday. And the doctor says, Ash. Now the doctor knows that it's a Monday sick note. But in any case, the doctor takes you and he puts you on the table and he presses his painting here. You go, ah, yeah, yeah, there, painting here. No, it's okay here. Oh, shame. And you know what I think? I think you got a bug. You allow the professional to do what he needs to do. You must allow the Holy Spirit to search you the way he wants to search you. If you want to have an account, an encounter with Jesus, you got to let him do it on his terms and not yours. Amen? If you do it on your terms, then you're putting religion, a mask of religion. Say mask of religion. Christians automatically have this mask as soon as we come into the church. We have a religious mask. And the Holy Spirit cannot work with religion. He works with relationship. You got to tell him and allow him to search you. And take out all the things that he doesn't want. Even if you've kept it your whole life and you love it and you can't do without it. I'm so used to being depressed, I can't do it. I'm so used to being fearful, I like it. I'm so used to going there, I have to do it. I can't do it. You just leave me alone. I like to do things the way I like to do things. Then the Holy Spirit is not searching you. He's standing in front of you and he's telling you what's wrong. But if you allow him to search your mind, he can take out the things that he doesn't want in your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to be your doctor. Not somebody who can only stand in front of you and look at you and tell you, stop that son, stop that daughter, don't do it anymore. This is not good for you. Change your mind, change your mindset. Sometime he has to search you and come in you and say, I'm going to break this off you. You're not going to do it anymore. You're not going to feel for this anymore. Then he's searching you. And know my heart. So this is what you're going to have to allow the Holy Spirit to do to you today. He must know your heart. He must test your mind. In other words, your anxious thoughts. You need to let him into your heart. You need to let him into your mind. And if there's anything offensive in me, you must remove it. Number two, listen. Listen. The people who love you will not want to hurt you. Amen? Intentionally hurt you. The people that are closest to you can see you better from the outside than you can see yourself better from. Then you can see yourself from the outside, correct? I can read people better from the outside because nobody carries a mirror with them the whole day. I can see your face because you can't see your face. Yeah. Amen? I can see the way you react to people because you don't recognize the way you react to people. The people that love you will tell you the truth. If everybody tells you the same thing about you, listen. If everybody tells me that I need to stop eating the chocolate cake, somewhere somebody is trying to tell me a little bit more. Get off your food and start to diet. If a pastor knows that you are committing adultery, he's not just going to pray for you. He's obligated to speak to you. Amen? I've yet to see somebody give up something that is addictive to them only by people interceding for them. There needs to be a point in our lives when the people that we love have to stand up and say, listen, because we love you, this is the way it really is. Okay? He who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise. He who ignores discipline despises himself, but whoever heeds correction gains understanding. It is biblical for someone who loves you to tell you that you are wrong. We've become so defensive in our mass. We've become so much like a superhero that nobody can tell us when we're wrong. Nobody can tell us that, listen, enough is enough. We don't have a right to speak to one another anymore. You get your house in order first before you speak to me. Amen? That's the attitude most of us have. Who gives him the right to come here and tell me how to run my life? That's only half the story. Listen when people are telling you how to grow. Amen? Biblically, if you do not take biblical rebuke into your heart, it means that you despise yourself. Do you despise yourself? Do you despise yourself? Amen. Allow yourself to be taught by people who love you. You will grow. You will grow. Listen. Number three. Change. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Do what it says. There was a man in the Bible, his name was, I think, Haman. In the book of Kings, and he was suffering from leprosy, and he went to the prophet Elisha, or he sent a message, and he said, listen, I'm suffering with a disease. Is there anything that you can do to help me? So the prophet sends a message with his messenger, and he says, you got this disease, leprosy, do me a favor, go down to this river. This guy didn't even know the river, River Jordan, and go dip yourself seven times. And this leader, he was a captain in the army, he took offense. And he says, you want me to go to the dirtiest river and you want me to dip myself seven times? Well, who do you think? What? Who do you think you are? You can't even come and tell me with your own mouth. You send a messenger to tell me to go jump into a dirty river and then you expect me to go and get healed. We will take the radical stuff so we can change. But we'll never take the simple stuff. Sometimes it's too difficult to go through an easy step-by-step course to change. But if the church puts us on an 80-day dry fast, then everybody wants to stir their spirit up to change. Amen? When it comes to doing things radical, then we feel we'll get a radical change. It's not true. Let's look in the mirror. Can you turn your sermon outlines the other way around, if possible? Maybe I can just borrow Pastor Lee's for a sec. It's an amazing thing when you get to know who you really are. And it's an amazing thing when you can be free in the presence of God. Christ is comfortable with you acknowledging your sin. He doesn't take an offense to sin. He wants us to bring it to Him. Amen? The church is on the challenging, we're in the challenge phase. We're going to challenge everybody all the time. We're not going to allow ourselves not to grow. Every week, every time we're together, we're going to challenge one another. And challenge is difficult, church, because challenge means change. And the worst thing we can do to one another is allow us to fictitiously grow. We want us to grow spiritually, financially, emotionally, and every otherly. So if there was, let's say my favorite pastor, one of my favorite pastors is Pastor Prince, Joseph Prince. So let's imagine your favorite pastor is here. Super anointed, Benny Hinn, T.D. Jakes, whoever you want. And they tell you, listen, for thus saith the Lord. And we get the atmosphere built up of it. Maybe we put your favorite worship CD. Your life will completely turn around emotionally. If you take three days and do three things, our ears will go, because we already place a precedence on who the person is. But imagine I'm one of your favorite prophets. Amen. So he says, I have a three-day challenge for you. And the Spirit of the Lord promises you that you will be totally set free in the next 3 days. It says, day number one, you must ask the Lord to search you. And then after many, many hours and many days, and a 21-day fast, the Holy Spirit gave me this special scripture for you guys. It's Psalms 139, 23 and 24. I want you to go through the scripture on your own, and you ask the Holy Spirit to search you. And then normally, I watch TV quite a bit, TBN, the crowd goes wild. Especially in TD Jakes Church, if you must see, right? It's amazing, I love it. They will go berserk. And then he speaks about day number one and how day number one is going to change your mindset and break your minds free about you no longer having self-deception. And then you're going to go into day two. And the Lord said, no fast. Day two, you must listen to God's response. And this is how you're going to do it. I also spent another 40 days doing a fast, and God gave me the scripture for you. It's John 4, from verses 4 to 26. And after you read this whole parable about the woman who went to the well, your mind is going to be set free, because you're going to listen to God's response. And then you're going to go into day 3, and you're going to get out your selfie mode mirror again. You're going to look at it, and you're going to take another picture. And then you're going to, first time in a long time, see who you really are. And I also prayed about the scripture. It's 1 Corinthians 11, 28 to 34. You're going to go through that scripture, and the light is going to get switched on in your life. Now, everything that I told you is true. But there's no fanfare in it. There was no fast. There's no trickery. It's whether you want it bad enough or not. This was taken from another pastor, Pastor Greg Rochelle. And if it can work for somebody who has enough faith to change their life, it can work for you. Amen? If you're sick and tired, or been sick and tired of living with a mask, you can take it out. Amen? You can do it, church. It'll be freedom in your life. Freedom in your life. Amen? Let's stand. When the first time that Jesus goes to this woman at the well, then she calls him sir, or she calls him Jew. She calls him a Jew. And as they begin to converse with one another, she says, Rabbi. Please read the scripture. It's day number two. Something else gets revealed to her. And then after that, she begins to say, you must be a prophet. And at the end, she says, no, wait, hold it. You are the Messiah. When you allow Jesus to introspect your life, it'll become difficult at first. You'll say, stay there. And by the next day, you'll say, okay, it's fine. Sir, teacher, teach me. Okay, teach me, allow you to teach me. Maybe by the third day, you'll say, I can't believe I'm feeling this way. You've got to be a prophet. You got to be a prophet. Something is changing in my life. But when you fully go through the process, and I hope you really come for every single sermon series of Masquerade. Amen. Then you'll say, you're the Messiah. Yeah. And when you meet the Messiah, changes like this. Amen. Changes like this. Suddenly your eyes get open. And then you don't have to keep on coming to the well just to sustain you for the day. You can go out to the street and say, I was this, but now I'm this. Amen. I did that, and I don't do this anymore. That's what Masquerade is all about. It's about us taking out the Batman mask, even if he's your superhero. us stopping the Two-Face and us sometime saying, I don't want to be the Joker anymore. I may be making people laugh in the party and the life of the party, but at home, I'm nothing. Amen? My son thinks I'm a superhero. My son thinks I'm the best thing out there, but I have so much of religion in me, I'm no superhero. Amen? People don't really know who I am. I'm good one day and I'm horrible the next day. That is what masquerade is about. And it's a wonderful thing when we meet the Messiah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's give him a few seconds to do what he does best. And I ask the Holy Spirit this morning, if you want to raise your hands up, it's fine. Father, I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you begin to take off the many, 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 many masks that we have put on through this process of life. Masquerading in with the deception of everything being all right and all together. Father, if we are hurt, then we are hurt. If we are worried, then we are worried. If we are in despair, then we are in despair. If we are stuck in addiction, then we're stuck in addiction, Lord. That's who we really are. If we need help this morning, you reach out and you touch us. If we're in financial bondage, then we need you to take us out of it. If we're sick, we're sick, Lord. We will not pretend anymore. I break the spirit of pretense over the atmosphere of your people. Father, if we need to cry, we need to cry. Father, if we need to be broken, break us and make us again. If things are not well at home, then things are not well at home. Father, search us. Search our hearts, search our minds, search our thoughts. Let the next 3-day challenge be taken seriously with you, my Lord. Father, you took the simple things to confound the complex things of men. And we sometimes have to do the things that we don't want to do. We have to go dip ourselves in the dirty river. Sometimes the messenger is not the messenger we want. Sometimes it's the way that we don't want it to be. But I ask you that we open up our minds and our hearts this morning, that change can happen first year from the church into our homes and then into our businesses and then into our employment and then into every sector of Ladysmith. I pray that the spirit of deception be removed from your people right now and that every mask be taken down in Jesus' name. Amen.